The headline-grabbing actions of former President Jacob Zuma and the headline-grabbing non-action of current President Cyril Ramaphosa are recurring themes in South Africa's political story. With me is political commentator Solly Moeng.
Welcome, Solly.
Hello, Chris. Lovely to be here, as always.
Has former President Jacob Zuma just secured the future of his MKP with the appointment of his son Duduzani as deputy president?
You know, the last time we discussed Zuma, I said Zuma is being Zuma. I'm quite impressed by how South Africans pretend to be surprised. I mean, this was long coming. This was very long coming. I mean, Zuma was never going to exclude his son from it. Even his Duduzile, the twin sister, I think there's going to be a time when he's going to bring her back in. I think that Zuma is playing a game. He knows how to play this game. He knows how to play everybody. He knows how to play, you know, that the whole saying, slowly, slowly catch the monkey. And he does it very well. He's charming and he's very approachable, but he has a game plan, and people tend to underestimate that that game plan. But he still has a lot of questions to respond to in regard to state capture, the Guptas, and so does Duduzani. I mean, he was the key BEE partner of the Guptas, almost in all of their companies. He's the same person who was involved in, remember, the former minister, Tracy Jonas. Apparently, he was over 600 million rand at some point to do some things for them, and they would make him minister of finance ahead of Pravin Gordhan being released. Duduzani is said to have been in that room when all those things were made, but he hasn't been arrested. The Guptas are on the run. They are wanted by the South African. Apparently, they are wanted. There's been extradition attempts. But he has been coming and going back to Dubai, showing off his boats and his beautiful apartments and the life there, all gained at the expense of the South African taxpayer. But there are still many fools in this country who consider him to be a hero. So I don't know. South Africans, we're like suckers for self-flagellation.
Over to President Cyril Ramaphosa. He received the second interim report of the Matlanga Commission of Inquiry on the 30th of May, over 2 months ago. We still do not know what findings that report contains.
Yeah, the presidency seems to be arguing that he's not going to release any report until the final report is given to him. So while the Matlanga Commission is still doing its work, he doesn't want to confuse the public by issuing statements, especially if there are people who might still be called to testify. He doesn't want to issue stuff and make it hard for them. That's the argument that he's giving. I think the soundness to it, if you want. But South Africans are tired of just sitting there and being asked to wait. You know, we're being played. Either way, you know, there's still information that was alluded to, for instance, in terms of the five key players in this whole thing. The names have not all come out. It seems like there's always a name or two that gets protected. We get other things get thrown at us until we forget the other names. So the parliament is doing the right thing to keep pressuring Ramaphosa, to keep pressurizing him to do the right thing. And I hope that at some point nobody gets away with it. But it's a political game. We're kicking the ball further down the road so that, you know, we forget until he leaves, because he will not be appointed elected the next president of his political party. So it's going to be interesting to see. But South Africans must not forget, and the media, independent media, must not forget to keep asking the right questions, placing the pressure where it must be placed, because that's all we have, and we have the Matlanga Commission.
So the former president playing to win and the current president playing for time.
Yeah, exactly. But the president, I'm not worried about Zuma. Zuma is not going to come back to South Africa as president, and I don't think his son will ever be president of this country. So I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is that there's going to be consequences for the stuff that they are alleged to have done. The criminal justice system needs to stand up independent, not with the likes of this IDEC person who was disappointed us all. So the key in South Africa, we've always said, of all the democratic institutions, we still have a judiciary that still works. But now we're like, okay, which part of it is working? It's the only thing that can stand between South Africa and hell. And it must not be selective on who gets called in, who doesn't.
Talking about former IDAC chief Andrea Johnson, what do you make of News 24's turnaround, capitulation?
Well, you know, I thought about this. Maybe they made a mistake by going too far in trusting her. I mean, I read the articles again, a bit of all these journalists, and kind of, they got good people in there. But I think they should have allowed facts to speak for themselves. They didn't. They seemed to be saying, no, this lady is so good. Look at her track record in the Jackie Celebi and all the other matters that happened, Oscar Pistorius, et cetera, she's always been very clear and very ethical. She can't be. It cannot be. And so in the end, you know, they failed to capitulate, as we say, and to agree that no, she's not the person that they had believed that that she has been. I don't think that they had a sinister motive. Well, I don't want to believe that they had a sinister motive. The truth, it is the acknowledging that, you know, the truth is contrary to what they had been hoping it would be, and they've come back to join others in expression of frustration, disappointment, even anger.
But it was the same news outlet who screamed, "Where's the evidence?" after General Nolanla Makwanazi's press conference. It's been a year of evidence. I hope it's enough for them.
That's very true. I mean, I'm being very kind to them. Other people have not been as kind as I have been. Look, the things also, I'm doing the same. I'm making the same mistake. I'm looking at some of these people who exposed the Tembisa criminality and other stuff. And I'm thinking, these are good people. These are good South Africans who really want this country to work. So what interest would there be for them to defend somebody who is clearly not acting in the interest of South Africa? So let's give it to, okay, I choose to give it to them to say, okay, please don't do it again. Don't do it again. I mean, we cannot put too much trust in individuals. And I keep saying South Africa's democracy cannot be made to rely on the goodwill or good health of individuals in politics or in these key government positions. We need strong institutions with strong checks and balances to make sure that even if Solimwe gets into one of those institutions, smiling and hopefully speaking well, and then he turns rogue on South Africans, the system is designed to kick him out immediately, not with 1 year of sitting at home on so-called leave and earning all the perks at the expense of the Republic. Even this must stop. Nkunu must, Ramaphosa says it's a disappointment. Susan Nkunu must be kicked off. He must be kicked off. He must be fired.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Talking about smiles, Durco released a photograph of that looked like a toothpaste ad, Solly. The US Ambassador Leo Brent Bazell and our International Relations Minister Roland Lamola, big smiles after meeting.
Yeah, it was a catchy call. There were no big announcements being that were made after that meeting. We know that the key issues that, you know, that led us to where we are at have not been resolved. The Kill the Boer song is still there being pushed. The BEE, the expropriation without compensation, all that stuff that America has been pointing out to is still not unresolved. So I think this was really just to say, okay, look, we still have to work together. The terrorists are still there. I think the real sign of progress will be when each side gets something from the other side. South Africa doesn't want these tariffs that are being imposed on us. Of course, we don't need them. But I also think that, they can be for nothing. I'm not a supporter of Trump at all. But I also think it's a good thing that the outside world is watching South Africa, because we can be fooled into a false sense of patriotism that works against us, because these politicians in South Africa are smart. You know, we're all going to be, let's protect South Africa, but we're actually protecting smart, the stuff that is working against us here at home. So we do need outside scrutiny. Just like apartheid needed outside scrutiny, we need for politicians here to know that they cannot just do anything and tell us, yeah, let's protect the country when we're actually protecting them.
Meanwhile, the city of Cape Town is making a much harder push for bigger policing powers.
I support them. I have no idea. I don't understand why national government thinks it's so important that they cannot allow something to be done different. We cannot keep doing things the same way over and over and expect different outcomes. There are high levels of murders in the townships here, in the Cape Flats, gang-related stuff, gang-related stuff, drug-related stuff. And the national guys keep saying, no, you can't do this, we can do this. I know what the legislation does. But you know, the DA in the Western Cape is hard-pressed to show the rest of South Africa that it can do many things differently. I don't think things will get worse if you allow them to get involved in crime investigation, in intelligence gathering, preparation of dockets to make sure that when these dockets sit in front of the prosecutors, they are ready to prosecute. Because a lot of times, people, these things don't go anywhere. So cases get reported and then there's no investigation. So who is being protected here? Is it a political thing for the DA not to be seen to be succeeding in fighting crime? Or are there people in the underworld who fund some of these national politicians who are sitting here in Cape Town who are being protected? It doesn't make sense to me. Ultimately, it's the people of Cape Town who are paying the price for all these high levels of crimes and killings. It's just look at the stairs, the number of people who've been killed just in the past month. It's absolutely crazy. Something has to give. I think, you know, they have to allow the DA to do what it says it can do to protect the people of the Western Cape. We know that there are lots of underworld people sitting in this city, drugs, a lot of money laundering in big, you know, homes and, I don't know, other businesses. We need to get to the bottom of it.
Solly, a hard-hitting editorial this week posing the question, when will political connections stop beating the law in South Africa?
Yeah, it doesn't stop. It keeps going on. I mean, these big tenders, like Prasa and other, especially where there's a lot of money, suddenly, and the security tenders, you know, these applications to go around standing FPFMA regulations so that they can extend a tender or get another company or a company that's been involved in another institution to be involved again. I mean, I think we're being played. There's got to be a point when more checks and balances get pushed into these things, where regulations, where more voices are needed so that and more diversity of voices from different institutions on big tenders, so that it's not one or two or three politically connected and friendly people who make decisions on this.
Solly, let us talk about the unintended consequences that have emerged from foreigners being chased out of the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting. It seems like there are two camps now. There are people who are saying, aha, we told you the foreigners were not the problem. And other people are saying, yeah, maybe we overreacted here, because suddenly people who employed foreigners as gardeners, as delivery guys on motorcycles, who had them as tenants in their little apartments or homes and stuff, suddenly these people have left. About 67,000 people, I think, were signed out of the country. Now the gap they left behind is being filled. The balance is still in the middle. The question of uncontrolled illegal immigration is a serious one that must be sorted out. But at the same time, and I've lived in four different countries, more recently Switzerland, no country develops without the hand of foreigners. Even America, I mean, all countries, they have foreigners, they must come in legally into the country. Those who are here, we must find a way, and who are legal, who are doing the right thing, acting within the law, there must be a way to regularize them, okay? But those who are not here legally, we cannot simply just look the other. I don't think any country should simply look away and not know who's in there. But we must stop thinking that we can grow this country without the contribution by skills, And when takes money, legally collected tax money from people who are coming from other countries of the world, irrespective of whether it's Africa, Asia, Europe, South, Australia, etc.
And many people who had hoped to get jobs once the foreigners left ended up in long queues and disappeared.
Yeah, no, look, I think it's very naive for South Africans to think when so-and-so leaves, that job will come to me, you know. I know a good number of people, especially in the hospitality industry, who have reasons that even I struggle to argue against about why they prefer, say, Zimbabweans or Malawians, you know. I think we South Africans need to look into the mirror and ask ourselves, do we want to drive scooters? Do we want to work, to do a lot of the work that is done by foreigners that South Africans don't do? It happens all over the place. There are all over the world. There are jobs that locals just don't like to do. Okay? And it's okay for foreigners to do those jobs as long as they're legal. So we should be not expecting that suddenly the level of unemployment of South Africans is going to suddenly drop because foreigners have left, because that is not the case. I think that we still have to develop the skills that we need. We need to grow the economy. We need to create more opportunities for South Africans, entrepreneurial and others, to be active participants and beneficiaries of our economy. But we're not going to be able to do that without some injection of foreign, you know, skills and other forms of contribution by foreigners. I think we are a country of immigration, whether we like it or not. Some of us came from, or many hundreds of years ago, from Europe, from Asia, from other parts of Africa. That's not stopping. There will always be people flowing into the country. They should just come here legally, but there will always be people coming from elsewhere. Many of us have got parents from Botswana or Lesotho or Zimbabwe or other parts of the world. That's how it is.
Thank you. That was political commentator Solly Mueng speaking to BizNews. I'm Christine. Thank you, Solly.
It's a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox, sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.